Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
We are out in public here on a Friday night. We are at Old Republic Kitchen and Bar in Elgin. We will be here until 9 o'clock. I said 10 o'clock. 9 o'clock. Lance Briggs is going to join me from 7 until 8:30. He already looked like he's got himself a great meal over there in the corner. So we'll talk about that. We'll talk about the Bears game. We do want to talk Bears with you. The phone number is 312-644-6767. The bottom of the hour is being brought to you by Northwestern Basketball. Coach Collins and Northwestern Basketball return to the new Welsh Ryan Arena on November 2nd. Season tickets on sale right now. Go buy them at nusports.com. So the Bears are getting ready to take on the Patriots this Sunday over at Soldier Field. It's part of the reason I thought that last Sunday was such a big game, because you just don't want to be in a position where you need to win a game against the New England Patriots, especially with their offense clicking the way that it is, and you know all the injury situations that the Bears are under, where you hear that Bryce Callahan missed the practice, and I think that he's a guy that's really valuable. And I know that's a weird thing to say about Bryce Callahan, but when you have someone who's good at defending slot receivers, and you know that Tom Brady likes going to his slot receivers, that it makes you a little bit worried about what they are and what they might be able to do. Tom Haberstroh will join me at 6:40, and we'll talk some buckets, but I want to get in a few minutes of talking about the Bears with you. If you want to jump in, 312-644-6767. Out to Antioch and Chad. Hey, Chad, you're on the Score.
Hey, Lawrence, best football talk in Chicago, man. Good to talk to you.
Thanks, I appreciate it. What's on your mind?
Hey, so I was just thinking, if Leonard Floyd in the last few years had lived up to his draft stock, would we have been in a rush to get Khalil Mack? I mean, I know he's a once-in-a-generational player, but would we have, if Floyd was doing what he should be, would we have made the trade?
Okay, thanks for the phone call. I think that the idea was to bookend Leonard Floyd and Khalil Mack. I think that if you have an opportunity for a guy like that, what you're talking about is the best defensive player in the league. So if you figure out that that is the thing that you need, and you've got the quarterback on the rookie deal, the Bears clearly thought that Mitch Trubisky is at a point in his career where they felt like they could take a risk. Whether that's just, you know, after going through the tape and then going through all of the off-season stuff and then preseason stuff, maybe Matt Nagy was so high on the fact that they had the right people in place on offense that he said, you know, the only thing that we're really missing now is the second most important position. And there are a lot of people who tell you that quarterback is most important, then someone who's chasing down the quarterback is the second most important position. And Oakland was very upfront about the fact that they didn't want to pay Khalil Mack. I think that it's a great investment. When they made the move, I thought it was great. But let me get back to Floyd for a second. Floyd is a really interesting case. You can see it. Like, you can see that this guy has some freakish athletic talent. You can see that he can make some plays that maybe some other guys can't off the edge. You just haven't seen it all come together consistently. And I think a big reason why you haven't seen that is because he's been hurt a lot of the time. And even now, you had him playing in a cast and a semi-cast for most of the season. It's so funny. Vic Fangio was talking earlier today about him specifically, and I got another Vic Fangio cut that I want to play in a second, but he was talking specifically about Floyd, and he said that he thought that that last game against Miami, as strange as it sounds because you gave up 31 points to Brock Osweiler, that was Leonard Floyd's best game. What's really funny is I thought it was Leonard Floyd's best game too. I thought that he was active. I thought that he was disruptive. He was making plays. He had a pass defense, right? He knocked down one pass, I believe. But you want to see more. It needs to be consistent. And when Lance steps up here at 7 o'clock, we'll talk with him about it. Leonard Floyd needs to be a more consistent player. You need to be able to trust him more. And you're hoping that with all the attention that Khalil Mack is going to get in his tenure here with the Bears, that it will ease up things for Leonard Floyd. It will allow Leonard Floyd to get the one-on-one matchups and dominate those one-on-one matchups, because that's what the Bears are expecting. They're expecting him to win. And the example that's in front of you right now is Akiem Hicks. Akiem Hicks is winning his one-on-one battles. The last play of the game, well, not the last play, the play where he forces the fumble on the goal line. That's him destroying a one-on-one matchup and then going to get the ball carrier. I would like to see Leonard Floyd opposite Khalil Mack have those moments in games where he dominates a play or he makes a big play, and hopefully we shall see that soon. Speaking of the Patriots, if someone texted in, you can text the show at 670-11. Unfortunately, Brady, Edelman, and Gronk are going to light up the Bears secondary. There's some reason to believe that when you think about how you got their last three games, they've averaged 40 points. That's not great. Now, maybe the Turf Monster helps you. You might get some help from the Turf Monster. Maybe he's able to slow the offense of the Patriots down. That might slow down your offense, too. I think if the Bears are going to win, I don't think they win a shootout. Like the game that the Patriots had on Sunday night, where it's 43-40, I don't like the Bears' chances to win that game. What I do like is if we're talking about a game that's in the mid-20s, I like the Bears' chances because it means that at some point New England has to punt, which is what you're hoping that they're going to do. And in last week's game, they didn't punt and they didn't have a penalty, which is insane. It's pretty crazy what we saw. But I want to share something that I heard today. And also, I've given this tip before, but I'll give it again. The Bears podcast all of their interviews, which I think is awesome. For my job, it's perfection. Because if I'm driving around and I want to catch up on what they're doing, I can almost feel like I'm in the room listening to some of the press conferences. And it's actually really well mic'd and all sorts of stuff. So you hear questions in full and that sort of thing. So you should really go look for it. Like if you're someone who digs on the Bears and you're like, I'd love to know what they're saying, just look for their I believe it is called Bears Interviews Podcast. And it just, every week it has all of the different interviews, all the coaches, a couple of players here and there. And I think it's a really good resource if you're a big fan of the team. Anyway, I was listening to Vic Fangio this morning, the Bears defensive coordinator, talk about a bunch of things, but I wanted you to hear what he had to say about them getting ready to take on the Patriots. But first, he addressed the issue of them not being able to tackle well last week against Miami.
We had a good day of practice yesterday and meeting so far this week. And obviously, Brady isn't the guy you want to order up for that. But, I think we'll play good on Sunday.
How has the return of Julian Edelman kind of made that offense click lately?
Well, it's really helped him. You know, he's a guy that Brady has played with. Brady always has had a guy in the slot that he's comfortable with, you know, whether it be Welker, Amendola, Edelman. And it's a big part of their offense. And, you know, they haven't. He's a guy that Brady has played with. Brady always has had a guy in the slot that he's comfortable with, you know, whether it be Welker, Amendola, Edelman. And it's a big part of their offense. And, you know, they haven't missed a beat, even though he missed a lot of time. And I think it's really helped their offense and played a big part in them basically averaging 40 points the last 3 weeks.
Do you want, it sounded yesterday like your guys were going to treat Brady like just another quarterback. But is there a line between the respect to have and not being in awe of the?
Well, I think what they mean when they say that is they got to do their job, you know. And they all know and appreciate and respect how good a player he is and has been. I think it's more of that than treating him as another guy. He's not another guy.
How would you assess Leonard's start to the season so far?
I think last week he probably played his best, you know, as far as being active. I think it was the first game that he used his hand almost back to normal. There's still a little bit more that can be improved there as far as his confidence and usage of it. So I think that was good. But prior to that, I think he was really affected by it.
Vic, on the play Gronkowski made to set up the game-winning field goal for the Patriots on Sunday, if you can recall that, what about that sequence signifies why he's dangerous?
Well, it's just who he is. I mean, he had one-on-one coverage, and he's big, and him and Brady have karma. Brady has total confidence in throwing it to him, and they think he can win the one-on-one matchup, and he did.
As a coordinator, how do you figure out how to match up with him, whether it's the linebacker or safety, how to go about that process?
Well, it's different throughout the game because, you know, in certain situations you might be able to give him some attention, but what's getting lost in all of it is, you know, how well they're running the ball and, you know, the things you need to do to be solid against the run may not help you against him or, you know, somebody's got to play him one-on-one when you're doing that. So, and that's why they're really good. You know, they got balance. Running past, they got balance in Edelman, Gronk, and Gordon, and Oben. You know, they got guys.
Gio talking about the Patriots and their offense and how everything works for them. And you heard him talking about the slot receiver. Like, they make their money using the slot receiver for sure. Bryce Callahan, by the way, is questionable. So is Khalil Mack. Allen Robinson also questionable for this game. And a couple texts here. This texter wants to know, who do you think, which linebacker would you put on Gronk? Well, I think that of your choices, I as much as I like Roquan Smith, I'm not sure that that's necessarily a strength of his yet. I trust Danny Trevathan more than a lot of people, so that would be my choice. I appreciate you checking in. 312-644-6767 is the number. My name is Lawrence Holmes. We'll talk a little basketball with Tom Haberstroh next here on The Score. We took the show out onto the road. We are here at Old Republic Kitchen and Bar out in Elgin. If you'd like to stop by, it's right off Randall Road. It's the Miller Lite Top Draft Show. Lance Briggs will join me at 7 o'clock. We will discuss all things Bears, and we'll also check out, I'm curious on what he had for dinner, because they brought it past here, and everything that I've seen walk by me here has looked incredible. But that's not why you called. Tom Haberstroh is one of the leading voices when it comes to NBA coverage in the country. He just joined the NBC Sports affiliates as an insider. He's going to be helping out both nationally and regionally. He happened to be in Chicago today. Unfortunately, I'm out in Elgin, or else I would be in the studio with him, but he was nice enough to call in, and there's plenty of stuff that I want to talk to him about, and you can follow him on Twitter at Tom Haberstroh. Tom, thank you so much for joining me. I appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for having me on. Happy to be here.
Well, what's it like to be an NBA insider and the season is underway? You don't have to worry about, you know, too much tweeting anymore. Well, you probably still do. But now that the season's underway, what are you most excited about?
Oh, man. The regionals at NBC Sports are fantastic markets. I'm here in Chicago. They got a really exciting team. Zach LaVine is going to be, I think, a 25 points per game scorer this NBA season. He's electric. He looks healthy to me. They might not win a ton of games this year, but they're going to be a lot of fun to watch. And then you got, of course, Golden State and Boston. I was in the watching the Wizards game last night with the Heat, popping into seven different NBA teams. And so what I've gotten to see is just the passion of the local fans, because you know, being a national guy at ESPN, you don't necessarily see kind of in the trenches the kind of the the passionate fans that you see at the regionals. And, man, yesterday with the Wizards doing the chants, every time Kelly Olynyk got the ball, they were booing him off the floor, and that was awesome. I mean, a lot of this stuff you don't see at a national level, but getting on the boots on the ground and seeing it tomorrow night, Chicago Pistons, it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm really excited.
Well, let's talk about one of the regionals. We had to deal with it yesterday. Philadelphia is one of the places that you're going to be covering. The 76ers last night, they shot the ball really, really well, and the Bulls for the first half stayed with them in that game. In the second half, you saw the distance between where the two teams are, I think, at this point in their development. How did Philadelphia go about building their team, and why does it look like they're poised to be one of the top teams in the Eastern Conference?
Well, man, the whole idea behind the process was have as many hacks at the number one pick as they can. And they got Ben Simmons, they got Markelle Fultz, and Joel Embiid, who I think is going to be an MVP candidate this year, because he's a two-way player. And you saw it last night, his ability to protect the rim and actually score, rebound, pass, the whole thing. He is a full complementary player. You know, when I talk to players this offseason and their summer workouts, they kept mentioning Joel Embiid as the guy, as the bar, just the, what he did in the postseason with a mask on and the ability to score off the dribble, shoot threes. He is really the benchmark for a modern-day big man. So I think absolutely this is what the process was all about, is get these blue-chip prospects, bring them in, and it's going to take a few years. And I think Chicago can take a lot of lessons from that process, is because it's not going to be overnight. You know, Lauri Markkanen is one of the great, great young scorers in this league, a guy who was, you know, one of the biggest surprises in the league last year. And Zach LaVine this year, I think, is going to be awesome. If things break right, if they overachieve and they win, you know, 40, 45 games, the Chicago Bulls are going to have Zach LaVine being an all-star. I mean, he's that good of a scorer. But defensively, they're really going to struggle, and it's going to take a couple years. I need to see more out of, you know, Wendell Carter Jr. as a defender before I say, hey, this is going to be the Philadelphia 76ers in a couple years.
Last night, I wasn't sure how to feel about this. I'd love to get your opinion on it, on someone who covers the league. The way that Philadelphia fans reacted to Markelle Fultz, I'm pretty sure that it wasn't with ill intent. I do think that they were trying to be supportive of him, but it almost came off as like a mocking type deal.
Yeah.
I heard someone say it felt like they were treating him like he was Brian Scalabrine. What was your opinion on that?
Yeah, I totally hear you, Lawrence, and I felt the same way, where it was almost like he was a fringe player, like a second-round pick and a guy who was just coming up from the G League, not a number one overall pick. And it just felt, I don't know, it felt a little off. You know, I know they're trying to be supportive. I know they're trying to cheer him on and give him encouragement. But I heard someone say it today on Twitter. It kind of felt like, you know, the kid who isn't very good at soccer, but once he gets in the game, you're just cheering him on to get the goal, and everyone's just, like, letting it happen at the end of the game. Like, that's kind of what it felt like, where you're cheering him on, not because you believe in him, but because, you know that he needs that. And it was odd to see from a top-shelf prospect. Markelle Fultz obviously struggled to have the confidence with his deep jump shot, but it felt weird to watch. And I don't know how that's going to play out for the rest of the season, but I do know that they need absolutely a lot more shooting with Ben Simmons and Markelle Fultz. Ben Simmons, I know, doesn't have that jump shot yet. I think Markelle Fultz has the track record at Washington that made him the number one pick in the NBA. I think they need to get that. If they want to take the next leap and be a finals team, they need the shooting from Markelle and elsewhere.
Tom Haberstroh has joined NBA Sports Regional Networks as an insider. You should follow him on Twitter at Tom Haberstroh. Before I get back to the Bulls, what did you think of LeBron's debut out in L.A., and is there any way in the world that they can win games if they're not going to hit threes?
No, and you know what? Even if they hit threes, I don't know if it's going to be enough. That is a fringe playoff team. I think LeBron James is going to be great, but I think halfway through the season he's going to realize that they have no defenders. They don't. They don't have any plus defenders under the rim, and that's going to be huge for them. They're not going to be able to defend the Western Conference night in and night out with that kind of defense. I mean, Michael Beasley and Lance Stephenson being big minutes guys for them, I just don't see it. I don't see them being a really good team. LeBron James is going to get his points. He's going to get his rebounds. He's going to get his assists. He's going to light up the arena every time he gets out there. But everyone's going to light them up too, because that defense is awful. And I think LeBron James, halfway through the season, it might be like, hey, my back, you know what? It doesn't feel right. I'm going to take this night off. I think he's going to realize that this team isn't going to be a championship contender, and he might start preserving his body for next year when he can get that star this summer. Because right now, I think the Chicago Bulls, you know, last night, that was a microcosm of what their season's going to be. It was emblematic of their season. And I think the Lakers last night against the Portland Trailblazers, where Nick Stauskas is lighting you up, I think that is going to be emblematic of what the Lakers we see from them this year in LeBron James.
I still just wonder, like, what they were thinking as far as team construction because of the way that the league is going. In the Western Conference in particular, you have a lot of really good shooting teams. And I guess if your team's going to be really good on defense, maybe you can contend. But if you have a situation where two of your five guys on the floor are Rondo and Ball, that really takes you away from having any sort of perimeter activity.
You know what? It's four numbers, 2019. Summer of 2019 is the reason why they constructed their roster like they did. They want to have one-year deals with Lance Stephenson and Rajon Rondo, JaVale McGee, all these guys on one-year deals so that they can preserve their cap space for next season and roll it over and try to get, you know, Kawhi Leonard, Jimmy Butler, Kyrie Irving. I don't think he's going to go there, but I do think that they want to get into the race for all these free agents this summer. That is the reason why they got these guys on short-term deals. And obviously, I think LeBron James would love to have a Kawhi Leonard, a Paul George right there, right now. DeMarcus Cousins is another name they're going to probably go after. But that's why they have all these, you know, kind of these journeymen around the league, Lance Stephenson and Rajon Rondo and JaVale McGee. These guys, and Michael Beasley too, these guys aren't getting long-term deals with their clubs for a reason. So it's all about the summer of 2019. And I think it's going to be a really awkward season for the Lakers, because it's going to be really tiring to watch them give up 130, 140 points night after night with LeBron James there. That's going to get real old real fast. And then it's going to be a really awkward, hey, why did we get LeBron James if we're not surrounding him with talent?
Agreed. Tom Haberstroh works for NBC Sports Regional Networks as the national insider for the networks. One of your colleagues, Will Perdue, was on my show a couple nights ago, and we had a conversation about Jabari Parker. I'd love to know, since you're a guy that's in the know, what are people around the league saying about Jabari joining the Bulls? And I have a follow-up question that after I hear your answer.
Yeah, you know, it's a carrot. You know, the option for that the Bulls have on Jabari Parker for next season is a carrot. Hopefully, you know, Jabari Parker looks at the contract, the option for next year for about $20 million, that he can be a full defender, the passer, the full complementary player, 360 player that they want him to be. Right now, it doesn't look like it's off to a great start. And that's what I think GMs and coaches around the league are interested to see is, when he's motivated and he's healthy, is he going to be able to defend at not at a high level? They don't want to see that. They want to see him defend at an average level, just to be able to be out there for 30 minutes a night. And right now, I think that's what you're trying to see, is that carrot of coming off the bench and earning that contract this summer, is that going to be enough for Jabari Parker to be a really substantial NBA player this year? Because I think that's what he can be. But a lot of GMs want to see, is he going to be motivated? Because that carrot is out there to get that starting spot, to get that option this summer. But right now, he's got a lot of work to do.
You kind of hit on what I was going to follow up with, that can a player off the bench impress both his own GM and head coach and others? Like, how does he go about doing that?
Well, he's got to defend. He's got to give those effort plays, and he's got to own the second unit. You know, a lot of people look at, you know, the Jamal Crawford types, the Isaiah Thomas types, who are guys come off the bench and just fill it up. But those are guards. You know, Jabari Parker's a big, and they're going to have to see. You know, Greg Monroe last year is another name, a guy who, you know, can you be a big man and anchor the second unit scoring? I don't know. We have to see that from Jabari Parker. He has to be motivated, and it's going to be tough. In the hometown of Chicago, it can go one or two ways. You know, you saw Dwayne Wade try it here in Chicago. and Joakim Noah tried it in New York. It's really tough to sometimes go back home and play for your home team because there's just a lot of voices in your ear, and that's something I'm interested to see too. Is Jabari Parker with the being back home, is that going to be a plus or a negative?
Yeah, I kind of feel like it's a negative, but that's something that I've been on for the last few months. Tom, thanks for the time, man. I really appreciate it. I hope that we get the opportunity to talk a little bit more.
Anytime, Lawrence.
That's Tom Haberstroh. He is now going to be the lead NBA insider for the NBC Sports Regionals, which means NBC Sports Chicago. You're going to see him over the next couple of days over there. So make sure you check him out and follow him on Twitter at Tom Haberstroh. A texter says, Lawrence, why are you busting on the Bulls so bad? When did I do that? When did that happen? I merely talked about the game that they got blown out in last night and gave the facts of they were shooting well and then they didn't shoot well. And when they stopped shooting well, Philadelphia started shooting well and they lost by a whole bunch of points. That's not me busting on the Bulls. That's telling you what happened in the game and looking for context on it. I'm sorry that you felt me basically giving you a short version of the box score was me busting on the Bulls. But I appreciate the text anyway. Time to get back to talking some football. Boogie is in the building. That's his nickname. His real name, his government name, is Lance Briggs. He's going to join me. We're going to talk about the Bears. He said he promised you last week that he was all in. He said he was all in, and he promised you that if they lost, he'd have some things to say about it. So Lance is going to join me with all those things that he has to say about the Bears. If you want to get your phone calls in with Lance, we can do that too. 312-644-6767. We're at Old Republic Kitchen and Bar out in Elgin. My name is Lawrence Holmes. You're listening to The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.